God, God, I sense the Lord, man. I just sense Jesus. God is up to something. You may be seated. I'm going to go here. I'm going to give you what God gave me. Please forgive me because I'm going to. There is a disclaimer here. I'm wired. I'm not weird, but I'm wired. And there's a reason for that. It's a threefold component recipe here. One, it is the anointing that empowers me. Second, I've had 4 Starbucks today. Number 3, I happen to be of Puerto Rican descent. So if you combine the anointing with the Starbucks, he said Boricua. Hey, who's going to be? All right. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Amen. Calmate, negro. Calmate. Okay. John chapter 9. I asked the Lord, Lord, give me, what do you have for me for Orlando? This is what the Holy Spirit placed in my heart. And I say that with fear and trembling. Again, you'll hear this. I know it looks messy around the world right now, and even in this nation, we're about to see a miracle out of this mess. And that's not hype. It's not like rhetorical exuberance. It's not like prophelying. We're about to see this. John chapter 9, let's make it legal. Here's the story. As Jesus was walking, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. You have to underline that part. He had been blind from the moment he was born. Let's go to jump down to verse 6. So Jesus spit on the ground. Unorthodox way to facilitate a miracle. That's messy. He spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva. That's even more messy. And spread the mud. You got to be kidding me. Over the blind man's eyes, he spread the mess. Verse 7, he told him, after he does this, go wash yourself. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. I want to speak to you on the subject matter today. Under the collective canopy of this conference, as we awaken, I want to speak to you on the subject matter, messy miracles. When the mess becomes your miracle. And here's a subtext. Are you ready to see what you've never seen before? Now, let me confess something. I am a bit OCD, and my wife would attest to that. My mind works in a very linear, sequential manner. I may preach like Kirk, but I think like Spock, for all the Trekkies in the room. So I find it to be a bit challenging to reconcile what I perceive as chaos with order. In other words, how can a miracle emerge out of a mess? This is why this biblical narrative speaks to me, because it speaks to our current reality. Let's begin with the first point. If you're taking notes, and good luck with that. Open your eyes to what you have never seen before. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. It's important to note this. This man was not losing his sight. This man did not lose his sight. He never had it in the first place. He was born blind. This circumstance facilitates the environment for Christ to reveal a functional, an ontological extension of the creative nature of providence. In other words, with the woman with the issue of blood, he gave her back her health. With the invalid man at Bethesda, he gave him back his walk. With Lazarus, he gave him back his life. With the other blind man in Mark 8, he gave him back his sight. But with this man in John chapter 9, Jesus did not give him something he had lost. He gave him something he never had in the first place. You're going to get this in a second. There's a difference between God restoring something you had and God giving you something you never had in the first place. Our God is not just a God that restores. Our God is a God who gives us what we never had before. He is the Lord of the new thing. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I do a new thing. Do you not see it? Some of us focus our time in getting back what we lost. We start focusing on that when we should be asking God to give us what we never had in the first place. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not interested in renovating your past. He is more interested in releasing your future. And the question we have to ask ourselves as we come out of this global pandemic, as we come out of this Cocoa for Cocoa Puff scenario, are we ready to see what we've never seen before? Are we truly poised and ready to see what we've never seen before. For the past year, we know what we've seen. We have seen darkness. We have seen ruins. The ruins of a global pandemic taking over 500,000 lives in this nation alone. The ruins of racial and social unrest, destroying properties, families, dividing communities, and even fragmenting the church. The ruins of political unrest, where the donkey and the elephant temporarily succeeding in dividing what belongs to the lamb. The ruins of a cancel culture that insists in silencing everyone and everything, that refuses to toe the line of morally relativistic ideological worldview that runs counter to the word and the spirit of the living God. The ruins of secular totalitarianism that explicitly states casinos and liquor stores are essential, but the church is not. In other words, Jack Daniels, yes, Jesus Christ, no. The ruins of a generation targeted by the architects of darkness with the message that there is no such thing as truth, gender, holiness, and personal responsibility. We see the ruins. We see the ruins. Turn on CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS. We don't discriminate here. Telemundo. Y Univision. And you will see the ruins for over a year. That's what we've been seeing. The ruins, blinded by the reality of malaise and chaos and moral relativism and cultural decadence and spiritual apathy. And even to a great degree, with the exception of this church, ecclesiastical lukewarmness, we have seen the ruins. The ruins. And you know what we did for the past 14 months? We wept. We wept. We wept. We wept. We wept. We wept, we wept, we wept. But there's this thing about weeping according to the word of God. The psalmist said, Psalm chapter 30, verse 5, that weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. I'm here to tell you, put a shout on your lip. We're coming out of this in the name of Jesus, because nothing can stop the sun from rising. Church, in order for us to see what we have never seen before, I'm here to tell you, don't drink the Kool-Aid. We're about to see some great stuff. But in order to see it, it behooves us. We have to reconcile our eschatology over missiology. In other words, I do believe that Jesus is coming. But permit me to remind you, he's not coming back for a broken church. He's not coming back for a whining church. He's not coming back for a depressed church. He's not coming back for a fearful church. With great due deference, he's not coming back for a church waiting for a vaccine. He's not coming back for a political... He's not coming back for a politically correct church. He's not coming back for a comfortable church. He's not coming back for a dying church. He's coming back for a glorious church, a thriving church, a powerful church, a mighty church, a holy church, an anointed church. Is that church in the house here tonight?
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program. so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
He is waiting for his church to stand up. Oh, I believe we're about to see what we've never seen before. Church, we're about to see what we've never seen before. And we've been praying and fasting. We're coming in agreement. But I'm telling you, we see something different. That's why you can't, Señor Padre, ayúdanos. You can't believe all, it's all bad news. I mean, it's bad news. It's bad news. It's, everything you see is just one negative thing after the other, after the other, after the, it even got me. I looked at my wife of 31 years, Eva, de Puerto Rico, de Río Piedra. So I looked at her a few weeks ago and said, I'm going to stop looking at a certain app that I look every single day. It's a newsfeed app because every day is bad, bad, bad. And you get into a funk. You do. I mean, I'm being honest. And you start, and I went, no. I actually had a conversation. So help me, don't think. I talked to my church about it. George knows this. Because, hi, George. So anyway, so like hi. So I had a conversation in my church because I was actually getting into like the pit of every single day, bad news, bad news. And I had this thing with the Holy Spirit where one morning the Holy Spirit just said, Sam, I'm still here. And I went, what do you, he goes, no, I'm still here. Like, Sam, like whatever you're reading, it doesn't matter. I'm still the most powerful. I don't know if you get this. The most powerful spirit in America and in the world today. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. It's not Jezebel. It's not Herod. It's not Absalom. It's not Goliath. It's not COVID. The most powerful spirit is still the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. The Holy Spirit of God. So I see something different. Let me tell you, and I say that with fear, again, with fear and trembling, biblically substantiated, but it's driven by the Spirit. I see a church poised and ready, fully cognizant of the fact that the next thing to fill the nations will not be COVID 21, 22, or 22. It will be a move of God. What if I tell you we're about to see God show up in such a way that it will make Azusa look like an opening act? And the Jesus movement looked like a rehearsal. You think that's hype? It's not. Do you realize that Gallup a few weeks ago just reported that for the first time since Gallup has been taking a survey, less than 50% of Americans attend church regularly. The number was 48%. The prediction is, same polling, the prediction is that even after COVID, American churches, Bible-believing churches, will lose approximately 30 to 36% of their prior constituents. Not temporarily. Like, not like they're going to come back after 3 months or after a year. Like, oh, I don't even know who would answer that survey. Like, who would say, I'm never going back to church again? Like, who would do that? Like, I have questions about the legitimacy. Nevertheless, they reported that churches should get ready to lose over 30% of their people indefinitely. I'm here to rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm here to tell you to get ready. We are about to see more people receive Jesus as Lord and Savior than ever before. And I'm here to declare that Sundays, instead of being the day with the least amount of traffic, Sunday morning will be the day where people will flood God's houses. I see a church confronting the pharaohs of the 21st century. Declaring, let my people go so they may worship the living God. I see a church declaring, I hear the sound of the rattling of bones coming together. The sound of black, white, Latino, and Asian together as one church. I may not get invited again, but I'm going to tell you because I'm going to push back on the darkness. I'm going to make this clear. We got to stop believing the hype. There is no such thing as a white church, a black church, a brown church, a yellow church. There's only one church, the church of Jesus Christ. Only one church, and the gates of hell. The gates of hell shall not, will not, cannot ever prevail against the church. We are that church. Oh, so we are about to see what we have not seen before. So by faith through Christ, permit me to declare. Padre, ayúdame en el nombre de Jesús. Permit me to declare by faith that driven by the Spirit of God, that we're about to see something different. What are we going to see? Instead of riots, revival. Instead of lockdowns, open heavens. Instead of destroying property, building altars. Instead of political affiliation, prophetic designation. And instead of storming the Capitol, we're about to storm the gates of hell in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say amen. What if I tell you to get ready in your family, en tu casa, in your community? We're about to see what we have never seen before. 1 Corinthians 2:9. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, is what God has prepared for those who love him. Let's do it real quick. Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I'm about to see what I have not seen before. In my family, in my faith, in my finances, in my relationships, in my church, in my community, in my thinking, in my actions, in my words, in my health, in my surroundings, in my nation. I'm about to see the glory of Jesus like never before. If you believe it, praise like you believe it, and shout like you believe it. Clap like you believe it. Worship like you believe it. Rejoice like you believe it. Act like you believe it. We're going to... Número dos, rápidamente aquí. Open your eyes to God's Spirit. We're going to illustrate this. This is what he did. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. What an unorthodox method to facilitate a miracle. What a process. Sometimes the process is messy. Sometimes the process is complicated. But here it is. The God of the outcome is the same God of the process. Let me repeat that for the hearing impaired. The God of the outcome is the same God of the process. The process is temporary, but the promise is permanent. And do not make the temporary permanent. Do not make and confuse the process with the promise. Do not confuse what you're going through with where you're going to. Permit me to remind you that if you're going through what you've never been through before, it's only because you're about to step into what you've never stepped into before. But there are a couple of elements here. First, he spit. Somebody say, Holy Spit. That's what it was. Santa saliva. He spit. He spit. This is wild, man. As a producer, I would love to capture this in a 21st century context wineskin, because this is wild. This is Jesus, the Messiah, God incarnate, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life. And here it is. He could have done like, but no, he does this process where he spits on the ground. Spits. Then he spits and he combines it with dirt. Let me illustrate this here. Ready? Your pastor loves you. You know that, right? This would not qualify as pastoral abuse, would it? I mean, I'm just saying, is it? Liability insurance and all that, we're covered, right? All right, close your eyes. He spit, he went, he did this. I don't know if it was allergy season or not. We can't make things up. But he spit, picks it up, and goes like this. He did this. I mean, to me, that's wild. I mean, that's wild. I mean, why would he spit? Why not the nod? Why not the bewitch way? No, that. genie. Boom, you know, the old school stuff going on here. So why? What's in this spit? What's in your spit? Your DNA. I'm going to drop the mic and walk away. To me, that's wild. No, you. He spit. He took his DNA. Jesus took, that's not like a metaphor. Is that figuratively speaking? Oh, no. I mean literally speaking. Jesus placed his DNA on his eyes. Oh, boy. Let me put it in context. In other words, with your DNA, you can't see. With my DNA, you're about to see my glory. With your DNA, you are a victim. With my DNA, you are more than a conqueror. With your DNA, you are limited. With my DNA, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. With your DNA, you will make excuses. With my DNA, you are about to make history. Did you get this? He literally placed his DNA on a man who was born blind. He transferred what was inside of him. He transferred his DNA, whoop, to a man who was born blind. Ladies and gentlemen, 2,000 years ago, Jesus died, resurrected, ascended. And he transferred something else. It wasn't his spittle, but he gave us something. It wasn't his spittle. He gave us something more powerful than his spit. He gave us his Holy Spirit. I don't know if you understand what this means. You have something, you have better yet someone inside of you. You just don't have the spit of Jesus. You have the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. Are there any Holy Spirit people here tonight? You don't have the spittle. You have the Spirit. You have literally the Romans 8:11 Spirit. The one that took Jesus out of the tomb. Which means if Jesus came out of the tomb, you can come out of anything. You can come out of addiction. You can come out of depression. You can come out of anxiety. You can come out of fear. You can come out of shame. You can come out of condemnation. You can come out of generational lies and curses. You can come out of anything. We are Holy Spirit people. We who were spiritually blind, born blinded by sin, we likewise have received a spiritual, divine, supernatural, Christ-ordained transfer. We have the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, not just the spit. We have beyond that. Oh, we have the Spirit. I'm here to tell you, the most powerful people on the planet, Acts 1:8, explosive power, dunamis. The most powerful people on the planet are not those with fame, fortune, and followers. The most powerful people on the planet are those filled with God's precious Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is still moving. Not just in America, but around the world. I need to say this. Are we streaming, Pastor? Gracias. We are? I'm going to say it. With all the things that have happened in the past year and a half, and I'm in California, I've lived it. I've lived it. I know what it is. I'm not here to do anything political. God forbid. No estoy aquí. Líbrame Dios. But I was there. I was in the front line when the governmental authorities not only said you can't go to church. That was easy. That was easy. You knew that was coming. You can't go to church. Then they went to the next level of you can't have church in your house. In my state of California, the governor said you can't have a prayer meeting in your house. You can't gather with people in your house and pray. You can't sing. You heard about that. You can't chant, you can't sing, you can't pray. And like all these, I just want to remind, and I know we're streaming, I'm going to do it. There's not an executive order, a Supreme Court decision, a legislative initiative. There's not a law or a social media campaign that has the power to stop the Holy Spirit from moving.
Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Your family mess is about to become God's miracle.
Your health mess is about to become God's miracle. Your financial mess is about to become God's miracle. Your generational mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mental, emotional mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Can you come in agreement with me that America's mess is about to become God's miracle? I wrote a book called Your Mess, God's Miracle, from the narrative embedded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. It's when Jesus healed the blind man, and he did so in a very unorthodox manner. What did he do? He took his spittle, he spit on the ground, he made mud out of it, and he placed it on a blind man's eyes. Did you hear that? What an unorthodox process. This book will empower you with the following truth. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. I will repeat that. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. Out of all the books I've written, this is my 11th book. This is the number one message thus far in all of my ministerial and writing trajectory. It's so anointed, it's so filled with God's power and spirit, it will bless your life. I promise you, you read it and you will see by faith through Christ, your mess becoming God's miracle. So go right now. This book comes out April 6th, but there's a sense of urgency in the next few days for you to pick up a copy. So go on Amazon.com, pre-order. Your book will arrive the week of April 6th, but it behooves you, it compels you to get your copy today. And watch this. If you DM me a screenshot of the purchase of the book, my team has been instructed to randomly pick from the DMs individuals who have pre-ordered this book to send them copies of my previous books. You may be receiving 2 copies, 1 copy, 3 copies of books I've already written. Many of them became bestsellers for the glory of God. It will bless your life. So pre-order right now, Amazon.com. Go ahead, let's do this. Your mess, God's miracle.